All right. My name's Larry Gillette. I'm the chairperson for the Security and Alarms Licensing Board. I'd like to call this meeting to order at this time. The time is 9 a.m. on January 7th, 2016. We're meeting in room 475 of the Eagle Wells Building, Salt Lake City, Utah. Notice that this meeting was provided as required under Utah Open Meeting Law. In compliance with Utah Open Meetings Law, this meeting will be recorded in its entirety. The recording will be posted to the Utah Public Notice website no later than 3 business days following the meeting. In compliance with Utah Open Meetings Law, minutes will be prepared for this meeting and will be posted to the Utah Public Notice website no later than 3 business days following their approval. The following board members are in presence: myself, Larry Gillette, Michael Howell, he may be joining us but hasn't arrived yet. Sandy Hendrickson is here. William LaRochelle is here. Troy Iverson is not. We're not sure if he will be showing up today.
He won't be.
Okay, he's excused. All right. The following members from Doppel are present. Let's see, Dunn is not. Jenna Johansson, she's here. She's our bureau manager. Yvonne King, secretary. Tyler Berkley-Sitch?
Yep.
Berkley-Sitch.
There you go.
Is the compliance officer here today. We welcome him. Also, Pamela Bennett from Investigations is present. Okay. We welcome all visitors and interested persons at this time. Please make sure that you sign the attendance roll at the back of the room. Also, before you speak, identify yourself before speaking. As a courtesy to everyone participating in this meeting, at this time I ask that all cell phones, pagers, and other electronic devices be turned off or changed to the silent mode. Board motions and votes will be recorded in the minutes. Let's now proceed with the agenda. Boy, am I tongue-tied today.
That's because you were hurrying.
I think it's over. Yeah. Okay, per diem's been signed. I'm looking for a motion to approve last month's meeting minutes for November 5th of 2015.
I wasn't here, so...
Well, I can make even the motion too.
The chairman can make motions.
Okay. So, but I'll leave it up to you.
Mr. Dole, shall I make a motion that we accept the minutes as written from the last meeting?
Okay, Larry Gillette, I second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
I thought we needed one more.
No, we need
three of us.
There's five.
That's right. Okay. Okay, let's see. Let's go on with the compliance part of the meeting. Tyler?
So we have 2 that are on probation, Jennifer Hatch and William Bullock. Jennifer is, we had a little bit of struggle with her just to get our intake meeting, but then we met with her and she's been great ever since, been getting her reports on time and she's had great communication, so that's why speaking with Jenna, we removed her from this meeting. And then William... this is his second time coming around. I met with him. Hopefully he's ambitious about this go around, and he came in December, so we're just trying to see a pattern right now. But so far he's gotten his employee report. We are missing one thing from him, but I called him, but since it's the beginning of the month, I'm giving a little bit of time, so we should be okay.
The training?
So, this is just a handout that goes over our motions, which is something you all know. I'm not going to read through how to make a motion because you know it and it's there on the paper, but a few side notes that you may not have known. The parliamentary procedures it's a guide. You can do them if there's not a specific way you have to do them. This is just a guideline on how you can do them. Motion and votes only take place to finalize official discussion items that will result in tangible actions. Informal discussion items don't need to be voted on. One motion can be discussed at a time. You can bring in a subsequent motion, which would be discussed, but you can just do them only one at a time. If the vote's tied, it's lost. And whether or not the chairperson participates in a vote is the decision of the board. So Colin, you can just keep this hand up. We're just going to try and do something every month to get a little refresher.
Yeah, and in our other meeting, the construction trades signed up too, that the chairman can make motions on B boards, and they don't like hammer in that you have to follow the rules of procedure set down, but we try to stay as close as we possibly can to those rules. And there was one caution too that was brought up too, and that is like if we have something coming to the board and say the three of us meet somewhere and discuss it, that is out of line. We do not do that because we're forming an opinion and discussing the item that will be brought up at our next meeting before it is brought up. And if that is, if we do that, that is no more. That thing is thrown out and they win. If it was something we were looking at taking a license for someone, so we do not discuss. The only thing we can do is like if I email or put out an email or Yvonne or Janet here puts out an email to us, read this attachment. But we do not discuss anything between us until we are here as a board and discuss it openly because of the open meeting law. So that is one caution we have to be careful of too. Correct? I think I made everything clear. So. Okay. We are a little bit early. Melinda Rodriguez, are you here?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, we'll start with that. Would you please have a seat up here at the end of the table there?
Go through a little bit of your background, and then after they'll ask you some questions and speak with you about it. Okay. Belinda Rodriguez is applying for burglar alarm licensure. She answered yes to question number 10, having pled guilty to, no contest to, entered into a plea in abeyance, or been convicted of a misdemeanor in any jurisdiction within the past 10 years. On January of 2008, she was involved in a robbery at the Raleigh Fair Mall. And when confronted by security, she became physically combative. When she was detained by police officers, she provided them with a false name and filled out a witness statement using a false name. Once it was determined that it was a false name she had given them, she gave them correct information and filled out a new witness statement. She told police that she gave them a false name because she thought she had warrants out. On November of 2008, Ms. Rodriguez was found guilty of the theft and giving false information to police officers. The simple assault charge against her was dismissed, and the case was closed in November of 2011. And then, again, July 2008, Ms. Rodriguez was caught driving under the influence, driving on a denied license, and she gave false information to the police officer. In 2012, she was found guilty of all three of the charges, and I couldn't find where this case was closed successfully.
Which one? The DUI?
The DUI, yeah. And I believe you have that.
Yeah, I do.
If you need it.
Yeah.
Then again, April 2012, Ms. Rodriguez was caught shoplifting at Inco and was detained by loss prevention. When the police arrived, she was arrested due to outstanding warrants. On December 10, 2012, Ms. Rodriguez was found guilty of the retail theft shoplifting charge. The case was closed in April of 2014. In February of 2013, Ms. Rodriguez was caught driving under the influence of alcohol while she is an alcoholistic driver. On September of 2015, she was found guilty of both the DUI and the alcohol restricted driving charge. That is another one that I couldn't find if it was closed or not. On February 2015, Ms. Rodriguez was caught driving on a suspended, revoked, or denied license, alcohol-related, and operating a vehicle without an interlock system. On August 2015, she was found guilty of both those charges. She was ordered to pay $1,490 fine and placed on probation for 31 months, and that case is still open.
Ms. Rodriguez, tell me about, let's start out with the first one, the robbery at Valley Fair. What happened in that?
So me and my mother and my sister were at the mall shopping. my sister's told. I didn't know anything about it. Even in the cameras, I was never around her. But they didn't know why I was charged with it, is because they couldn't prove that I had no idea that she was stealing.
Okay, and she was stealing. What's with the robbery charge?
I don't know why they charged us with a robbery. It got dropped down to just a theft, and that's what they charged me for. I don't know why they charged us with robbery. And the reason
probably
why...
Probably because of the fight. You
well,
know.
The security guard didn't say he was a security, and he grabbed me by my hair, and I, like, kind of flipped out because I didn't know some guy was attacking me, and he didn't say who he was until another just random shopper seen him attacking me, and it was a man, and he went up to him and pushed him, and then he said he was a security officer. And so I had no idea. I just was getting attacked by some man. I didn't even know my sister was stealing or anything, but they dropped it down just to the theft, and because I couldn't prove that I didn't know she was stealing. So that's...
So was she charged as well?
She was charged as well later on, but she wouldn't say that. I don't know. They didn't drop my charges. So, but in the video they had and everything, I was never around her at the store. I bought something. I was, you know, but.
Okay, and that was back in 08,
yeah.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which also your false identification to a police officer and fighting, assault, whatever, you know, all of that doesn't look good. And then a DUI in 08. And then another DUI in, 13, and then another theft in 12,
okay,
and then driving on Reebok.
The theft in 12, I ate candy out of one of the bins.
You know that's not right.
Yeah, well, I didn't do it. Like, I was grabbing a bunch of stuff. I paid for all my groceries, and that's where they stopped me. I would have paid for it. I wasn't trying to steal candy. I ate candy out of a bin.
And that's theft.
I know that, obviously.
And are you on suspended license right now?
Right now, my license is not suspended.
Have you got a license?
I can get it, but I have to pay a reinstatement fee, and I just have not got it, but I don't drive, so.
What position are you applying for with what company and what position?
Collections.
Collections with what company?
Fluent Home Security.
Any questions from the board?
I'm just a little... even on the first case, you said you gave him false information because you thought there was warrants out for your arrest?
I did, for the DUI. I mean, that was a long time ago. It was in 2008. I was young and I was dumb and I wasn't very mature at the time. I'm now a mother. I work. I paid my debt to society for all of that stuff. Those cases were closed. I made a mistake by doing those things, but again, I was like 19 years old. I'm 28.
Okay, now we know this last case is still open, but are there any of the other cases that are still open?
No, all cases have been closed. The only one that's still open is the one for the driving without an interlock device.
And why did you get stopped?
I'm a headlight. And I was driving because the girls, we had left a wedding, and the girls that I was with were drinking. I don't drink or anything like that anymore. I learned my lesson. And so I thought I was doing the responsible thing by not letting them drive. I got pulled over for a headlight, and so I got charged with an interlock device. And I didn't fight it. I pled guilty. I wasn't supposed to be driving without an interlock device. So.
Is that still the case to drive? Do you
know? Not anymore, no. The interlock device is... been lifted, but I just have to pay a reinstatement fee to get my driver's license back, and I just haven't had the money to do so.
Have you paid the $1,490 fine?
I'm almost paid off with that, and the reason why it's 31 months is because I didn't think I was going to be able to pay off the fine within 12 months, so the judge told me I could go back in front of him as soon as I pay off the fine, and he'll close it, but I just haven't paid it off all the way. I was planning on doing so with my taxes.
To be perfectly honest with you, Ms. Rodriguez, your background really concerns me. We want people in this industry that we can trust, you know, if it would have been just one thing, but all of this pattern. And that's one thing that we really look at, and that is a pattern of conduct. Your pattern of conduct is not that good, and you have a DUI back as recently as 15 and driving on, and driving on suspended license.
Yeah.
And you still owe money for fines.
No, I don't.
You know? Yes, you do. You just said you did. You owe money for fines.
On the interlock device.
On the interlock device, but it's still a fine, isn't it?
It is, but it's not, like, outstanding. I'm not past due on my payments. I've paid it every time I'm supposed to,
right.
And I've paid more than I was supposed to.
But you still owe that. You're
and
still
I
under
get
that.
My taxes at the end of the month, and I'll pay it off.
You know? Janet, what's your opinion on this, with the pattern of conduct? It's clear under our statute, am I correct, that
if you weren't going to deny, you could do a probationary license, which would require UA testing, if that was a concern for you.
I have a question about collections. So what exactly do you do?
I just call on outstanding invoices. I don't have any access to the alarm stuff. Like,
do you have any access to their funds, to their credit cards? Do you collect?
I do collect on their invoices, but everything is usually blacked out unless they use a new card, which most of the case, they're already established customers and they're just past due on balances. And so I call to collect on that.
But that's a concern for me.
I'm not even sure in that position, she needs a license.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm especially the way we're changing things and stuff like that. She may not need it.
Did they tell you you needed a license?
They didn't at first, and then they had everyone in the whole company. Just the minor did an entry, and everyone apply for them.
Okay.
And so,
you will have access to their account information and their personal information, though, when you pull up their account to see that they're delinquents.
I pull up their account and it shows their addresses and stuff like that, but I don't have passwords or anything like that, alarm stuff. I don't even know how the alarms work. I don't deal with any of that side. I was transferred to the other department.
But if we give you a license, they could just move you right into that position. That's the thing that really concerns me. It really does.
So my
past record.
My position is higher than the other departments. There's only two collections agents there, me and one other person, and we don't really deal with any of that stuff. So if I did get moved to one of those positions, it would be me losing like status. So I mean, I'm not looking to move.
And how long have you worked there?
Since June, I believe.
I don't know. The only thing I might agree to is like Janice, possible, you know, the thing with the probationary license with UA testing and random UA testing is the only way that I would even look at, you know, with your past background and to prove yourself more that you are responsible and you have learned from your mistakes. That's about the only way that I would ever approve the license for you. I don't know. Do you all feel about the same way?
I actually have a problem with this last
but even probation
is within a year.
Yeah.
You know, and like, as you said before, it's a pattern type of thing. This is Bill O'Shaw. I'd like to make a motion at this time that we deny licensure to Melinda Rodriguez.
Can I have a first? Do I have a second? To be honest with you, I'm going to second it because I have the same concerns with this license. Now, this is not saying you can't reapply after a while. You know, I'm not saying you have to wait a year, 2 years, whatever. But I'm just really concerned with the pattern of conduct on this. And, you know, it's not our job here to stop people from working, but we answer to the governor. And if we let somebody into someone's home or access to someone's personal information and records, I don't want to be sitting up there in front of the governor and asking him asking me why in the heck we as a board approved you with this kind of a background, and why not wait for a while? So, anyway, the motion's been first and seconded. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for your time, and I'm sure you're going to, you know, I think you'll be back.
Well, I'm probably going to lose my job, so I will.
Talk to him about it and see. Okay? Thank you. Okay, the next one on the agenda is Jeffrey Anderson. Are you here, Jeffrey?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Mr. Anderson, please have a seat.
Thank you.
Jan is going to go over your record, and we'll make a decision from there.
Okay.
Jeffrey Anderson is applying for burglar alarm licensure. He answered yes to question number 10. Have you pled guilty to no contest to entered into a plea in abeyance or been convicted of a misdemeanor in any jurisdiction within the past 10 years? And question number 12, have you ever been incarcerated for any reason in any correctional facility, domestic or foreign, in any jurisdiction or on probation parole in any jurisdiction? In November of 2006, Mr. Anderson was contacted by police due to a series of explosions and maybe fireworks at his residence. On July of 2007, he was found guilty of disorderly conduct, and the case was closed in July of 2008. In January of 2007, Mr. Anderson was stopped due to a traffic violation. During the stop, he was found to be in possession of drug paraphernalia. In January 07, he was found guilty of possession of the drug paraphernalia. The case was closed in September of 2008. On August 2007, Mr. Anderson was stopped for being in a public park after hours. During the stop, he was found to be in possession of drug paraphernalia. In October of 2007, he was found guilty of the possession of drug paraphernalia, and the case was closed successfully in 2008. In September of 2007, Mr. Anderson was caught trespassing and contributing to the delinquency of minors. In December of 2008, he was found guilty of contributing to the delinquency of minors and criminal trespass. This case has not been marked closed that I could see. In September 2008, Mr. Anderson was stopped by officers due to having a warrant for not paying fines associated with the previous case. While officers were searching his vehicle, they found a large machete hidden behind the seat. And in July of 2008, he was found guilty of attempted carrying concealed a dangerous weapon, a Class B misdemeanor. In July of 2008, that case was closed. On September 2012, Mr. Anderson was involved in a domestic dispute, and the building security called the police. While leaving the apartment, he jumped off the balcony and onto the windshield of a parked vehicle, smashing the glass. When he was confronted by the police, he was very aggressive and did not respond to stop commands. After a struggle with police, he was eventually tased and handcuffed and placed into a patrol car. On January of 2013, he was found guilty of interference with arresting officers and intoxication. The criminal mischief charge was dismissed. And in January of 2014, that case was closed. And in July of 2013, Mr. Anderson was asked to leave a concert due to the fact that he was extremely intoxicated. That was from the police report. He started making derogatory comments to the officer and mimicking the officer, and when physically escorted out of the concert, he began yelling and acting in an aggressive manner in front of dozens of concert attendees. He was found guilty in a North Dakota court of disorderly conduct and tumultuous behavior. He was sentenced to 15 days jail time, a $500 fine, and 1 year of unsupervised probation. Due to this case being out of North Dakota, I don't have any information if the case is closed or not.
Okay. Mr. Anderson, yours is even worse than the last one as far as your conduct goes. How old are you now?
I'm 31.
You're 31? This has been going on since 06, so a good, 10 years. Have you got an alcohol problem, a drug problem, and are you continuing with this kind of action?
Sir, I don't have a drug problem. I received a lot of outpatient help, and I overcame that. I do not have a drug problem. Alcohol problem, I did have one, and I also received a lot of help with that. I had a anger problem, which goes along with the aggression involved with some of those cases.
And the alcohol contributes
to it. Yes, absolutely. And I received and completed anger management courses as well to help me with that. With the last case, being involved in North Dakota, I had a job that was high stress, very dangerous, and it just that I felt was my release, I guess, to drink in excess and act in the way I did. There's really no excuse for any of that. Obviously, it is a long list of terrible things, and I regret all of them. I did all of them. And I wish they didn't happen.
Have you been through an alcohol program?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I don't see...
It does show in the information that I've got.
That
just
did?
In the court that he turned in all of the paperwork that he needed to for the alcohol,
For
the anger management. Mm-hmm. There isn't anything mentioned about the drug, but there is alcohol and anger management forms that he turned into the court.
Sorry, Foothill outpatient program that I went through for 6 to 8 months, I believe it was. I completed that.
Are you still doing something, counseling or anything?
I am not.
Okay.
Are you still consuming alcohol?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a teetotaler, so don't get that wrong. I have a glass of wine with dinner, not a big deal. But in my opinion, with your past record of alcohol abuse, I wouldn't be consuming alcohol at all anymore. I mean, but that's a personal thing, and that's the way I feel about it. What position are you applying for, and with what company?
Stone Security. I'll be a technician installing security cameras and access control equipment, key card, key fob style access to buildings.
Just a question. Have you done that in the past? Have you done it in other states?
I've just in Utah. I've done it. It was about 8 or 10 years ago. Worked for a company in Provo. I work with my brother, he's been doing it for several years, and I left a company I was just with. It's too dangerous working building power lines in Colorado, and I came home and I just got engaged. Be closer to my girlfriend. Now we're engaged, and I have a 5-year-old daughter. Want to be close to them, and my brother was able to give me this job, and I'm familiar with the installation of the equipment, and just have my past that's blocking me again.
When you were doing this 10 years ago, did you have a license then?
I did not. The company did not, at the time when I was hired, require it. Things changed, and I was going to apply, but I did not pass the background check before I applied for the license. I did not pass the company's background check.
That's another problem, is being in this business and working without a license.
Jana, what's your feeling on this? I don't even put you in the spot, but my opinion is on it. Denial of two with this past record, this concerns me. It really does. And like you heard with the last one, I don't want to be up there in front of the governor. Neither is anyone else on this board. And especially Janet, because she would really be catching me. She's our bureau manager. But it comes down to the board, not her. So we get hammered, she get less hammered.
I understand. What is, I can tell you're agitated.
Well, no, I'm not agitated. It's just my background is law enforcement, and I've dealt with people like you. And it is not fun.
Okay.
It is horrible. And,
That's a kind of terrible label to people like you.
Oh, no. No, not like you.
All right.
People in the same, I've dealt with them, and
it
is a problem. And it's not you personally, no. It's all of the conduct, all of the past things. And like I said before to the other one, you can reapply, and we'll look at it again after some time has gone down the road, showing that there's been no more problems for the past, say, 4 or 5 years.
Well, that's the thing is, I won't need a license after this. It's so I'm going to lose my job, as the young lady before me said. This is it. And so I will no longer be coming in front of you.
I will be needing to find a job. If that's your main concern,
yeah,
the alcohol is your main concern.
My concern...
probationary license. I mean, it has been 2 years since he
Since any kind of something. Alcohol problem.
And I think he's kind of more humble about it. She was more you know, I really think he changed.
I
didn't see that she changed.
I've everything on that paper, and
but there,
all,
there was other things going
things.
On with her, too.
Well,
oh,
well,
yeah.
At least you didn't deny any of it.
I did not deny a single thing on those papers.
But I think she's
what's
more humble about it.
I mean, what's your...
Well, I mean, you know, we're 2.5 years off from the last problem.
Mm-hmm. And that's extremely intoxicating.
I'm
13.
I believe it or not, I have more of a heartache with the company he's working for not having him get a license before he started.
I know.
But having been in that position as a qualifying agent, that's why I have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have a problem on a probationary basis as long as we're doing some alcohol testing. I don't know how you feel about that, but it's going to eliminate any alcohol problem. Okay.
Your case is definitely different than hers because hers was a lot more theft
and more recent
robbery and more recent and all that. Your main thing is the alcohol, and it's totally up to you. But you might want to continue with classes. You know, again, just a suggestion, whatever, and prove to us, and if we do grant a probationary license, and I'm with the rest of the board and leaning that way, thinking, yeah, okay, a probationary license, prove to us in, say, 3 years, 4 years, whatever, you know, on probation that long, then our standards, two years, and with no problems whatsoever, then, you know, yeah, I wouldn't have any heartburn at all as granting you full licensing, if you would agree to those kind of conditions.
I will agree to whatever you decide upon on that immersion.
Okay. I'll open up for a motion.
This is Bill Rochelle. I'll make a motion that we approve a probationary licensure for, Mr. Anderson. And as part of his probation, he'd be required to do UA testing. Would we need reports from his employer also?
You can do that.
The standard stipulation,
okay.
And that includes the employer.
Okay, we'll do the standard stipulation.
Sandy Henderson and I second that motion.
Okay, have first and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. I don't know. To be honest with you, I have a good feeling about you.
I do too.
Well, that's an answer.
I can see a change. I can see that you've changed.
And I wasn't trying to put you down in any way, shape, or form.
I understand.
Yeah, because,
it's been a long road with me kicking myself in the butt, like just wanting to change and then just, you know, like you said, it's been 2 years. How long till the next one? You know, I don't want that.
We're gonna try to help you out with that by requiring the testing.
You have a job.
You know what happens if you blow that.
Yeah.
So
no dirties at all, and it's random.
That's fine. I have no problem.
All right.
So
will fill you in.
You'll get a stipulation in the mail.
Okay.
You'll need to read through it and sign it. It will give you Tyler's contact information. He'll be your compliance person. You'll talk with him. He promised to have you come back into the office. He's giving you a rundown of everything that you'll need to do so that you'll know exactly what's required.
Okay.
And then once we get all of that back signed, then it'll go through the division director. He'll approve it. There's a chance he wouldn't approve it, but that's a very small chance. Once he approves it, then you'll get your license in the mail. And as long as you keep on track with Tyler, then you'll be fine.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Okay, we had one request to speak with us about something. Do you know what it was, Joanna? Why don't you come up and have a seat, and we'll go from there. Please identify the child.
I'll let
you out,
yes.
As Bill mentioned, my name's Ed Burton, and I own a small alarm company, Anchor Alarm. Been doing this for a long time. previously I was on this board years ago. The reason I'm here is on my own account. I see a problem developing with false alarms. Over the years, he smiles, law enforcement. Over the years, the alarm industry in this area has worked diligently. The false alarm rate has gone down something like 85-90%. The rate has come from way up to way down. We're the best in the country. And the last couple of years, it started to go back up. And as I look at, we get a printout every month from Duff over Sandy City. And as I see what's happening, there are a few companies that are in the business now that are alarm companies, but it's not their main thing necessarily. It's like a part of a package with a whole bunch of other things. And the problem is not just that the rate's going up, but the growth is really expanding with those companies. So it's getting worse and worse, and it's affecting all of us. And false alarms are bad for the consumer, and they're bad for law enforcement, and they're bad really for the alarm companies, although a lot of them don't act like it is. Now, back when I was on the board, they had a little rule that they put in that if your false alarm rate is double the average, that's unprofessional conduct. And I know this board has been real diligent in keeping people with bad attitudes and bad records out of the industry. And I would hope they'll be just as diligent of keeping bad companies out of this industry because they're hurting the industry. So that's basically what I wanted to say. If I'm willing to file a complaint, and I have no animosity towards any of these companies. They're way bigger than I am for the most part, and I don't care because I'm old enough that I won't be around that long. But I've been involved in this false alarm thing, back 30 years, and I've seen the progress we made, and I hate to throw it away.
Do you have any knowledge, percent knowledge of why their rates are going up? Are they putting in slipshoddy equipment or not good equipment? Are they going too much?
Probably two things. They're not taking the time to train the customers, and when they do have a problem, they don't go out and find out what the problem is. They just... years ago, there was a company in Salt Lake, and they had the same problem. And I talked to the guy, and he said, I can sell 10 systems in the same effort I can service this one guy. So unless they're really crying and hollering at me, I don't spend a lot of time on it. And I think a lot of that's what's happening now. They just shouldn't sell 10 as worry about this one. But whatever it is, it's growing rapidly, and it's going to really cause problems if we don't nip it in the bud. So I just hope that you're willing to, if I file a complaint and we talk to them and we see if they improve, and if they don't improve, then maybe they need to be put on probation the same as individuals would be. Maybe they should not be selling any more new systems in Utah until they clean up the mess with the old ones.
Okay. I think that would probably fall under just our statistics and things like that to see how they're doing. And
you get a printout, right? Is it monthly that you get
monthly,
that?
I still attend the back meetings, and usually Pam does too.
I wonder if we could have something like this to you.
Is that that's something that you could issue on professional conduct?
It seems to me that he spelled it out as if it's black and white, but you'll have to excuse me. I never take any complaints as if A did B, and so we have to do C.
Yeah.
To make this clear now, you're saying that there are companies that have several aspects to their business. They sell, do they have a storefront?
Do they have a storefront?
Are you talking about companies that have a storefront, sell alarm systems, and then also will install? Is that what you're talking about, or are you talking about alarm companies that also have other businesses going on?
Could be any of that.
Well, but so here's what it comes down to. It's already spelled out in the laws and the rules that if they exceed a certain percentage, we can take action against them. And you've come down to investigation
directly several times, and whenever you have, we've taken it seriously. We've looked at the paperwork, we've opened cases, and if these people fell outside what the law says is acceptable, then usually the first time what we do is we'll give them a call, and we'll give them either a verbal warning with X amount of time or a written warning. We also have a thing called a letter of concern, which is a non-public discipline. But it says very specifically on it, here's what you did, here's the law, this is what you need to change, that they spoke, it's written in the third person, but I'm the one who writes it. It puts my boss's name at the bottom. That you spoke to Pamela Bennett, that you agreed to these terms, and that you will take care of it. And we do. We check back on it because, like you said, I'm at these meetings all the time. So if I know ABC Alarm has 50% higher than everyone else, I'll keep an eye on it. And over the next few months, if ABC is really working on it, we're not going to do anything about it. But if it's getting worse or it stays the same, we can open another case and call them up. But the way that you presented it is if it's an entirely different group of individuals or a different sort of business model. Because you said specifically these people have a lot of other things going and they don't seem to.
And that shouldn't matter. If they're selling alarms, they're in the alarm business, they ought to follow the rules.
They do, but that's what I was trying to get specifically. Are you talking about licensed companies?
I hope they're licensed. Probably they are.
If I might interject, in looking over the list, I had a concern over some of these ones that are the do-it-yourself companies, you know, where they're selling equipment to the homeowner, homeowner installs it, and, you know, in a couple of these cases, they're triple the average, quadruple the average of false alarms. Now, that's because they're going back to their central station and that company is calling the alarm in. I'm hoping they're licensed just to be able to do that. If they're not, they should be.
The monitoring
company has to be licensed.
So
one of the things, you know, we're trying to address this as the association also, as part of the association. And you know, what we're going to try to do out of the association is contact people that are on this list that are not in compliance and offer them assistance with a false alarm program. If they don't want to do it with our assistance, then I'm going to get upset.
But here's the point that I'm trying to figure out, and perhaps you can help me with it. You can sell alarm systems now to people to put in by themselves.
Yep.
Like Home Depot. AT&T may even have one. Yeah. Sometimes the people who monitor them, I could buy an alarm system from Home Depot and then call alarm.com and they're doing it.
Well, sure.
So now to say, now let's just say I've got a kid who comes in and out all the time and never pushes the right button. So my house has false alarms.
Right.
So now there's no one really to pinpoint because there isn't an alarm company. There's an alarm monitoring company that I've contracted with. I've put it in. It's my responsibility. So this false alarm rate should no longer go to Home Depot, who I bought it from, or from the AT&T store, because they might have sold it. So, and you can't go after alarm.com because they're not selling it or putting it in or have any responsibility other than I'm paying them $20 a month to monitor my thing.
So the one that's responsible is you.
And the person who's responsible is me. And at that point, it's the city or the county who says to me, Ms. Bennett, we have a city code. First time we'll let you off. You have another false alarm, it's $50. You have a third, it's $500. And then it's me. Now, it does show up maybe on your list as a bunch of false alarms.
They are you.
But I think this does not fall within the law, if that's the situation.
Yeah, and that bothers me that it doesn't. Now, the monitoring company should have some responsibility in tracking it and notifying them that they have a problem. also, because there's many municipalities that don't have any form of false alarm ordinance.
But they don't have
any. You know, so this could go on for.
I've already bought the alarm. I've installed it.
So what do you do? Not respond because it's a public nuisance?
Well, no.
I mean, that's an option too.
I understand how you're looking at it as an alarm company.
Mm-hmm.
But these monitoring companies don't have any responsibility because they didn't sell it, they didn't install it. They can report to the police. They report, we've had this many or whatever, but I think at that point, and I'm really sorry, but this is so, a lot of your business is going from your alarm company to putting it in fact, I could put it on my phone. And I don't have to even have a monitoring company, or I can do things like that. So if this thing alarm goes off and I've got my phone set, so every time somebody opens the window without pushing the button first, it goes right to the police department or to wherever. I'm the one responsible for it. It's the homeowner. So maybe work on the cities putting together more ordinance.
This sounds like something to the legislation. We need legislation. And if this is getting to be a big problem, we need the legislation to step in and say, okay, this is what we're going to do as far as fining, as far as alarm companies or whatever.
But we can't.
But that's up to the legislation.
We're talking about things that that you don't need a license.
Yeah, because a homeowner can, you can put your own in.
Yeah.
My particular problem is with the, I don't know if I should mention particular names.
Company X.
Yeah, Company X who sells you equipment over the internet and then monitors your system.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if they don't give you good enough instructions on how to mount a door contact, and all door contacts are not equal. You know, a door contact that'll work on a wooden frame and a wooden door isn't necessarily going to work on a steel door and a steel frame, especially when it starts getting cold. Okay. The difference between a standard contact and a wide gap contact is only the magnet.
Yeah.
Don't the monitoring companies have exactly the same license as a regular alarm company? And if they do, shouldn't they be subject to the same rules? Unless they're going to change the licensing and exempt them, right now they should be under the same restrictions. And if they're creating a problem, there ought to be some way to stop it.
How are they creating the problem?
Yeah. The only thing that at this point we can do on this matter, and it sounds like Pam's got, attends the meetings, Pamela, excuse me, and just she's staying on top of it, so, you know, we'll see what we can do as far as that goes. If we do get a big bunch of them, you'll be coming to us and telling us what the problem is, and then we'll say, let's go do something about this company.
And I'm very happy if you can show me that Company X, their alarm rate is really high right now. I would be more than happy to open a case, give them a call, and see how they would cooperate. And in the past, it's usually worked really well. I don't, I can't recall any company that I've had to do anything more.
I can tell you the one I registered a complaint on, they haven't really improved. So what are we going to do about it? And it's not a monitoring company either.
Okay. Well,
we'll have to look at it
and see. Pamela's going
to
look at it, and so the only thing we do is go from there.
We'll be glad to do so.
Yep. Okay. Anything else along this?
No, that'll do it.
Okay. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thanks for yours.
Okay. Anything else that wants to be brought up from the board? Our next meeting is March 3rd. I think that's it. We'll go ahead and adjourn. The time is 9:50.